Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. How many of you here have ever searched for a job before? Anybody here? Yeah. Mm-hmm. What is the first thing when you go searching for it used to be the want ads, now I think everything is online. What's the first thing you usually look for is a job title type thing, right? It might be a bookkeeper, it might be an electrician, it might be a sales manager, something to that effect, some type of a middle management position. So you're going to go and look for, what am I hearing over here that I'm missing? Teller. Okay, there you go. So you kind of look for the job title. Now when you have the job title, right, you usually then look for the job description. I know we tend to want to jump right to the qualifications, but it's always really kind of good to look at what the job description is. And that's usually the responsibilities, right? The tasks that you're going to do, the areas of authority that you may have, anything that you can think of in maybe more general terms like that. That's sort of what the job description will be, what it is that you can expect that you'll be doing in this job. The qualifications come next. Do you have the qualifications to do this particular job? Now, if all of that matches, and you know what, even if it doesn't, how many of us, when it comes to time for the qualification, I don't have that. I just want to get my foot in the door for an interview. Has anybody here ever done that before? Or am I the only one that's ever done that before? Right? Yeah, okay, so maybe they'll look past that. So then you're granted the interview. And in the interview process, you hope that they like you, and you do kind of hope that you like them, depending on the situation. If you really need the job, sometimes it's like, I don't care. Other times you might be, no, this has to be a fit for both of us. So when we go into that interview process, that's when more of the details are going to start to come out, and you can start to ask questions. And then you're hired. Oh, isn't that the best day when you're hired and you start your first day? And usually you're going to sit down with the person who will be overseeing what it is that you're doing. And that's when you get the details about the position that you are now in. Yes? Yeah, a position description, right? So you know exactly, and you're given your set of goals. Now, I don't care what that position description says. What do you tend to look for right away? Money. Goals. Goals. How do I know if I'm hitting my goals, right? I mean, that's really what you're going to, you're not measured on the description. You're measured on the goals. Mm-hmm. So sometimes the goals are the same as what you expected when you came in, right? When you were going through the interview process and blah, 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 and everything is everybody's happy, right? Sometimes, oh, how often does this happen? They might not measure up to what you were expecting. Sometimes. I see nods of the head. Yeah, mm-hmm. So there's a little bait and switch, I feel like, that went on here, right? This isn't exactly what I signed up for. And so there might be slight differences. But how about the times when you walk in and you say, oh my gosh, that is not what I was expecting. And you are in shock. Has that ever happened to anybody here? They're like, whoa, what? Wait, this isn't what we talked about. I know we didn't talk about this, but a lot has changed over the past 3 months, and this is really where we need you. Has that ever happened to anybody here? Yes, so you understand the shock. You go home, and you're like, I cannot believe that this just happened. And sometimes, how about when you're actually doing the work that you've been called to do, that you've been set to do, that your position calls you to do, and you're doing your job, but yet everyone else around you says, that's not your job. That's not what you're supposed to be doing. Has that ever happened to you before? Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you very much, Tuck. Yeah, that happens a lot also, that what you believe that you should be doing in this position and what others think you should be doing are two totally different things. Well, that's what we experience in today's gospel. last week. Peter, right, they're at Caesarea Philippi. Jesus asked the questions of his disciples, who do others say that I am? And they can all easily answer that. And then Jesus, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Elijah, some say Jeremiah, etc., some prophet. And then Jesus asks the question, who do you say that I am? And Peter, like, just spills it, right? Because the you is for everyone. And Peter just comes out, you're the Messiah. You're the Son of the living God. You see, Peter didn't know this. This was what we called last week an apocalyptic moment, because that's the word that was used, apocalypto, where it's God has revealed something to Peter. So Peter says this. And so from that moment on, Jesus begins to show them what this means, that he is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. What was that description? Anybody remember that description? I am going to go to Jerusalem. I am going to be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes, and I am going to be crucified. Yeah. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to be beaten. I'm going to be crucified. And then on the third day, I'm going to rise again. Now, Peter's got to be thinking to himself, What are you talking about? This is not my definition of the Messiah. The Messiah doesn't go to Jerusalem to be handed over, to be forsaken, to be beaten, to die. And forget, I don't even know if Peter even got to the third day and the rising again, because I think he just shut down. And immediately we heard what he responded. You see, because in Peter's mind, what is the Savior supposed to do? What has God always done? Save the people, release the people from the Roman captivity that's going on. I mean, it's they're being held down, they're being taxed beyond belief, they're living in some poverty, they're being beaten and killed at the whim of these Roman soldiers. So what the Messiah is supposed to do is free them from that oppression. The Messiah is supposed to restore God's people. The Messiah, the Savior, Jesus, is supposed to be the new king who is just and fair, not like the one that we have right now. Life is supposed to be easier, easy street, so to speak. And you know what? It's not too bad if us disciples who've been following Jesus kind of get like seats, you know, in his court. That would be nice too. That's what Peter's thinking. So can you imagine the shock of it? And so what Peter's reaction is so incredibly normal. No, absolutely not. And he pulls Jesus aside as Jesus is saying all this and says, no way. This can't happen. In fact, Jesus, this is madness. This is crazy talk. And Jesus reacts very strongly. And we've heard these words. We haven't heard them as they're translated into English. But in Greek, they are the same words that Jesus used in the wilderness with Satan. Get behind me, Satan. So it's meant in Greek to shock and to stop. But yet, these same words, get behind me, are the same exact Greek words that Jesus used when he called his disciples, when he called Peter to come and follow me, to get behind me. Not to lead, not to be a stumbling block, but to follow. And it's lost in the translation, but it's the same words that Jesus used when Peter was fishing. Get behind me. Follow me. You see, Peter is thinking as we as human beings think. Well, of course he's thinking like a human being. He is a human being. Hence the reason we can say, how on one side can he possibly say, you are the Son of the living God, and the other say, no, this stuff can never happen. because one is a divine revelation and the other is his rational thought of the way things are supposed to be. And divine things and human ways are not the same. So Jesus explains what it means. Follow me. Get behind me. The disciples' position, just like the kids this morning, and it's hard for us to do as adults, as Carl can attest to, is to follow. That's the position that is described. That is, we called it a job description. Really, what we do is they are position descriptions. And we are given the position description for the disciples. And for us, that's what we hear today. This is what Jesus says. Here's your position description as one of my disciples. You are to deny yourself. Denial. Oh my gosh. Some people take that to the extreme, don't they? They take it to self-mutilation. They take it to, it means that I have to be deprived of everything. They take it to self-hate. That's what they take denial to. But anytime that word self is in there, who are we focused on? Ourselves. So it doesn't matter if it's self, grandeur or self-hatred. It's still focused inward and on the self. So that's not what Jesus is talking about when Jesus says to deny the self. Instead, we are to turn from looking inward to looking outward, to look toward the other, seeing and loving the other. And there's a particular seeing that we're supposed to be looking at. We're to be looking at those who are hurting, those who are feeling alone, who are scared, who are fearful, those who are suffering, those that this world ignores. That's who we are supposed to be looking for and at. That is what it means to deny ourselves and take up our crosses. It's to enter into the suffering of the other. That's the cross that we are to bear. Now, that doesn't mean you just enter into the sufferings and there's no pleasure in anything. Not at all. We are to enter into those who are rejoicing and those who are celebrating. But we're not to walk away and condemn those who are hurting. Now, it's real easy for us to look at Hurricane Harvey and see the suffering and to jump in and help. But how about when there's an earthquake half a world away? Are we as quick to see that and to feel that? Or is this the, oh my gosh, that could have hit Florida, that could have been me, guilt that's coming along, versus really seeing half a world away and what's going on? Are we really seeing those who are being pushed down and oppressed in this country and other countries? Well, that's not going to happen to me, is what we hear, right? We tend to then want to shield ourselves from that or not see it. But you see, Jesus is saying, you don't get to do that. You have to enter into this. You have to see differently. Jesus, his death, sets us free so that we can be in relationship and experience each other. We're not set free from sin and reconciled with God, so that God just pours abundance of stuff and wealth and things on us. And do you know that my preaching to you the truth of this gospel is not easy? Because it would be real easy for me to stand up here as a preacher and tell you, if you have found favor with God, then God's just going to give you everything and you will be rich beyond your dreams. No. No. That's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is telling us, you are to follow me. You are to suffer with each other. And you are to see what's happening right before your eyes. This week I got new glasses, and I know some of you have noticed that I got new glasses. Do you know it's the hardest thing in the world when you get new glasses? But that's what's kind of happening here today, right? We're being given new glasses. I mean, the very first thing I said is, I can't see. I can't see. I don't like these things. Like, I just want to take them off. I can't see. Because I have to adjust now. My prescription changed, and I have to adjust. I'm like, I can't see. I can't focus. I can't see. That's what happens. You want to just take them off. Give me my old ones back. But you see, I had to fight that for a few days now. I'm still having to fight it. Because these are the glasses that I am being given to see through. My brain is adjusting to the new prescription right now. And so what happens is, just like Jesus and Peter is being given a new set of glasses to see things through, that this is what it means to follow me. So I'm day 4, and I'm seeing much, much better. It took a while. It takes us a while when we understand who Christ is and what Christ is calling us to do to see through these new lenses. But we have to look through these lenses because we are freed from sin, we are reconciled with God, and we are made holy each and every day. We are freed for service, from sin, for service to each other. And when we fail, and guess what, guys, we're going to fail. I mean, something as simple as following a person can be really hard to do. And we fail every day. We don't see something. We say something that it's hurtful, and sometimes we don't even realize. Sometimes we realize it. Come on, let's be honest. Sometimes when someone hurts us, boy, we just want to zing it right back at them. But that's not what Jesus is saying here. We've been freed. And when we fail, just like Peter did, you know, this word deny is the same word in Greek that is used later on when Peter denies Jesus 3 times. And yet, as the Holy Spirit began to fill Peter up, he began to grow stronger and stronger and stronger in what he was called to do. And that gave him peace. Suffering hurts. Suffering with each other hurts significantly because we can't fix, but we can be with and we can pray. So these new glasses, they can be hard, but we can't take them off. We have to see as Jesus sees. We are the suffering church. We are God's people who walk with others, and that is the cross that we are to carry. And like Peter, our vision will get sharper as the Holy Spirit opens things up to us and makes it clearer. So that's our, your, and mine. It's our position description. We are to follow our Lord Jesus, get behind him, which means freedom. Freedom from the things of this world, freedom for the things of God's world, present here today. So don't take those glasses off. Keep them on. Amen.